understanding and reading the MDS as it pertains to fall prevention. Stick around. Hey out there, welcome back to the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. My name is Rob. I will be your host for this episode. Today we're talking about reading and understanding the MDS assessment as it pertains to the fall prevention in the nursing home. So in other words, what are we looking at in the MDS assessment that might inform us whether or not our loved one is likely to fall? We'll get an understanding as to what the nursing home believes your loved one's risks are. But we're not doing that alone. We're going to have the fantastic Amy Swinehart on the show once again to discuss with us about this. So we're looking forward to that. Stick around for that. All right. But first, let us move on to the nursing home regulation question of the week. This week, I don't know. This is a lot of words in this question. So I'm going to say this one's going to be hard. So if you get this one right, two pats on the back, two scoops of your favorite ice cream, and let's say 92 points. Under 42 USC 483.5, the term abuse means A, willful or negligent infliction of injury resulting in physical harm, pain, or mental anguish. B, willful infliction of injury resulting in physical harm, pain, or mental anguish. Or C, infliction of injury resulting in physical harm, pain, or mental anguish. I don't know. Like I wrote this question way too difficult. Like, I mean, it's like, if you get this right, let me know, because that's amazing. The answer is B. Abuse under the federal regulations means willful infliction of injury resulting in physical harm, pain, or mental anguish. All right, everybody. Now it's time for everyone's favorite ChatGPT generated nursing home regulation joke of the week. A gentle reminder, everybody, that this is AI's attempt to blend humor with the United States code. So set your expectations to radically disappointed. Gene, let's have it.
The ChatGPT generated nursing home regulation joke of the week.
Skynet.
Thanks to nursing home regulation 42 USC 483.10 IOF, we have the right to socialize. So I told my neighbor, let's party at 8. He replied, PM or AM. Clearly, our wild nights now involve deciding whether to stay up for the news or meet for early bird dinner.
And there you are, folks. Further proof that the singularity is a few parsecs away. All right, enough of the tomfoolery. Time to get into the meat and potatoes of the episode. Again, this week, we're talking about the MDS assessment and its use in the prevention of falls. And we're not doing that alone. We have the fantastic registered nurse, Amy Swinehart. Amy Swinehart's journey in nursing home care started 20 years ago as a CNA while attending nursing school. Throughout college, she worked in various roles, including CNA, restorative aide, and medication tech. Post-graduation, she progressed from a floor nurse to director of nursing in nursing homes. Since 2018, Amy collaborates with attorneys nationwide, including myself. She's fantastic. Reviewing medical records, crafting work product reports, and offering litigation support. Amy is critical to my own team, and I'm so glad that she could take time away from doing work for me to come on to my podcast. Amy, welcome to the show.
It's great to be here. Thank you so much for having me again.
Man, I was just telling you off, we were just talking, I mean, I guess I could say I was telling you that I loved our last episode. I don't know, there's something about geeking out into the MDS and what it all means that I really enjoy. And I would say you're an expert at this. Like, you're an expert at the ARIA manual, the MDS, and all that kind of stuff. So getting your perspective on this stuff, I learned a lot. So I'm happy to have you back. If anybody's interested in that last conversation that Amy and I had, that was back in episode 208, and we talked about the MDS as it relates to pressure injuries. And today, as I've mentioned a few times already, we're talking about the MDS and falls. So just a brief primer, Amy, what is the MDS for those that didn't listen to the previous episodes? Like, just a brief explanation of what the MDS process is, and then we'll get into the specifics.
Sure. So the MDS is basically a standardized assessment that's used across all nursing homes across the country if you're Medicare certified. It's a way for them to collect and synthesize the information from the record and formulate opinions about, you know, care areas and risks and things like that.
And typically, how is the information on that MDS, how is it taken from the resident? Like specifically, what are they doing to get the information that goes into the MDS?
Yeah, the large majority of the MDS is information collected from the medical record, things that have already been put in by other disciplines and other members of the team. And then there's a couple, I think, like the pain interview, the cognitive interview. Those are things that sometimes are done at the time of the MDS by the MDS nurse, but sometimes social services does the cognitive assessment. But for the most part, it's information that's already in the medical record being synthesized.
Okay, so the long and short of it is this is a comprehensive head-to-toe assessment that every nursing home must do for every resident periodically, but specifically at admission, quarterly and annually. And then that gets compiled into essentially a document that I would say is probably, because it's computerized, is one of the more easier documents in the chart to read. So now, if you're a family member of somebody that's in a nursing home and you're worried about them falling, perhaps they've fallen in the past, getting the MDS and specifically going over the portions that Amy and I are going to talk about would be very helpful for you to get an understanding as to what the nursing home knows about your loved one's risk of falls and what they're doing about it. All right. So now, and then really quickly, the MDS is essentially, as Amy mentioned, it's broken down into different care areas. So, and that's alphabetical. So we're going to be talking about like in section A and section blah, blah, blah. It's section A through Z. So now without further ado, let's rock and roll. So Amy,
okay,
our loved one's at risk for a fall. Where are we going to first, that MDS, to learn about that?
Sure. First section is going to be section C, as in cat. That's the cognition section. It's going to tell us whether or not the person's cognitively intact or cognitively impaired. And that information is really important for when you develop the care plan to determine what things are most appropriate for the resident.
I think that this is one of the ones where it's one of those when I get a phone call from a family member that like, well, tell me about your loved one in terms of their mental capacity. Like how were they? Well, they say that they had light dementia, but you know, I think they were doing just great or whatever. In other words, this is where to me, there's the most disconnect between the understanding of the loved one, what's going on with the resident, versus the nursing home's understanding of the resident. So as Amy mentioned, this is very important. And can you talk just quickly about what they're looking for in section C? Like what is it that they would need to know?
Yeah, so it's they call it a BIMS assessment, B-I-M-S. It's on a 0 to 15 scale, with 15 being cognitively intact and the lower end meaning cognitively impaired. Most of the questions are just simple memory-based questions. For example, one of the things is you say sock, blue bed at the beginning of the interview, and at the end of the interview, you go back and ask them if they can remember those words, the day of the week, kind of orientation to time, things like that.
And so there's, at the bottom of that page, there'll be a BIMS score, B-I-M-S, and if it's 0 to, say, 7, then that's showing that the nursing home considers your loved one fairly cognitively impaired.
Correct.
And then 8 to 12, thereabouts, typically is moderate impairment.
13, yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then beyond that is, or above that yeah. is...
Oh, you're right. Yep, you're right. 8 to 12, yep.
Is... I wrote it down beforehand, Amy. This is not something that I can do off the dome.
Okay.
But and then 13 to 15 is mm-hmm. they're intact, right? So
right.
That's important, right? Okay. So what's next? What's next on the agenda?
Then I would go to E, which is the behavior section. And that's going to let us know whether or not the resident is displaying any kind of behaviors, and also whether or not there's any rejection of care that's compromising their progress towards health goals.
And what does rejection of care mean, and why would that be important in terms of fall risk?
So, say you've got a patient who has a BIM score of 15, so they're cognitively intact, and you've said, every time you get up, before you get up, I want you to press your call light and call the nurse to come in and help you. But cognitively, they're intact, and they're like, I don't want to ask for help. I'm not going to press that call light. It would be really important to capture that, because that's going to enhance their risks of falls if they're non-compliant with requesting assistance.
I see. And this is the first kind of interplay between the cognitive impairment in section C versus the rest of the MDS, and how that their cognition affects how they're cared for. Okay. Yes. And what is there anything else in the behavior section that we would want to look at?
Yeah, I mean, they capture wandering there. That's always interesting to me, particularly with residents who have cognitive impairment. You know, if they're wandering all over the place, in and out of other people's rooms, it's going to make supervision a little bit more complicated. So it's definitely something you're going to want to consider when you're developing the fall care plan, to make sure that there's appropriate interventions for all those types of behaviors.
And we kind of touched on this, but the information that's put into this section and all the sections, it's typically done over a certain period of time, which is normally days. So for section E, for example, I believe the look back period is 7 days. So that means that the nursing home has been looking for and observing for these behaviors. So in the 7 days prior to that assessment, if they see your loved one wandering or they see your loved one rejecting care, that's when that would be input in, as opposed to 6 months ago or, 3 weeks ago. This is typically a 7 day look back period.
Yes.
So it's recent, like it's a recent assessment.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. So behavior, rejection of care, where are we going from there?
Section G, prior to October of 2023. And then after that date, you'll be relying on section GG to determine functional status. You know, what is the resident's ability to perform activities of daily living? Things like moving around in bed, how they transfer, what are their, like when they're, you need to use the bathroom, are they able to do that with staff assistance or without? Eating, bathing, all the different activities of daily living, that section is going to give us some insight about how the resident performs those activities.
Just as an aside, not to get too wonkish, but like, do you know whether or not, are we losing any information when G goes away, or is all the information, to your knowledge, that was captured in G being captured in GG?
I think there's a, I don't particularly like the change. I'm really partial to section G. You know, things like bed mobility for pressure ulcer cases, things like that. But I think that section GG has it. It's just different verbiage. So instead of saying bed mobility, they're asking like rolling in bed side to side. So basically the information is there, just not in the usual format that we're accustomed to.
I know, like I'm the same way. Like I fight change sometimes with these things. I've been looking at section G for so many years that like, it's going to be hard to give that up. And you're right. Like it's easier for me to say bed mobility than it is, you know, being able to roll left or roll right. Okay. So, and that happens in when?
I think it was the end of October, 2023 is when they phased out G.
I see. Okay. So I guess all my cases are still before that, or they're just haven't, or they're just still collecting the G data. Okay. So, all right. Oh, that's, I had to look back at my cases for that. Okay. Anyway, sorry. All right. So the functional status in GG for at least in my experience, and tell me if you agree, is where the rubber meets the road in a lot of ways, because this is going to determine how the CNAs interact with your loved one. And they provide the 90% of the care. If your loved one is being cared for, it's probably the CNA, and they are guided by this assessment. So dig a little bit deeper in that. Like how is what we learn in GG associated with fall risk?
Yeah. So in order for you to develop a care plan that's personalized to a particular resident, you need to have a full understanding of all of their functional capacities. For instance, if the resident needs assistance with transfers, there's a risk for falls there, because if they try to transfer without assistance, they're not going to be able to do it. So having a good understanding of how much staff is needed in the room, transfers, ambulation, toileting, all of those things, you can't develop a personalized care plan if you don't have a good understanding of the functional status.
And I think that this is a section where, again, I think as a layperson, the MDS at first can be overwhelming, but if you actually just look at it, it's clean, like it's just a computer generated document. And if you just spend a little bit of time, you can read it and understand it. Because trust me, it's not as though the people that are filling these things out, they know 100% what's going on. But anyway, that's not a knock. It's just, you know, everybody's got a different level of experience with these things. But I guess what I'm trying to say is, there's a lot of numbers on this, and there's a lot of places codes to input. Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, but all the information that you need to read and understand what's going on in GG is literally on the section. So there's right. going to be like a number that corresponds with the number of people that your loved one needs to assist them to get out of bed, for example. And exactly. if you just look at the document, you might say, well, I don't know what two means. But I guess what I'm saying is that two is defined on literally the page. Yes. And you can just read it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So it's something that you could understand if you just give yourself a few minutes to read what the definitions are.
Yeah. Another great thing too about the MDS is that it's standardized. So, you know, when they're asking all of these questions about your loved one in February, say, when they come back and do it, it's the same questions. So when you compare the two, you can easily see where there's been changes in a person's condition, because it's standardized and always asking the same questions.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. So we've got functional status, section GG, very important. Where are we going after that?
Next, I'd be going to bowel and bladder, the continence. I think it's H. That's going to tell us, you know, whether or not the person's continent of bladder, whether or not the facility has ever attempted a toileting program. And that relates to falls, because a lot of falls in nursing homes happen when the resident's responding to unmet toileting needs. So to have a really good understanding of exactly their patterns, their habits, their functional status related to the same, it's important, because there has to be interventions in place.
Tell me what a toileting program is, just in general, and why it would be important for the nursing home to put your loved one on a toileting program, or at least trial mm-hmm. or attempt to put somebody on one.
Yeah. And that's key. I mean, the trial, not everybody's it's going to work for, but you at least need to do your due diligence and attempt it. Basically, you're going to do a survey of their toileting habits over the course of a few days, 3 days. Look for trends and patterns. Like, say, you know, they're always incontinent after lunch, or, oh, they always need to go to the bathroom before dinner. And then once you identify those patterns, you would incorporate that into the care plan and create a toileting program that's just for them. Now, if there's somebody who's all over the place and can't really tell you when they need to use the restroom, sometimes they implement just a standard, you know, every before each meal and before bed, or that type of thing, prompted voiding.
I see. Okay. And then I was going to say that to me, this is another instance in which a lot of times the ball gets dropped. Like, it's almost as though there is no toileting program where every single person is going to get, you know, we'll just check them 3 times a day or 2 times a day. And that's mm-hmm. what we're going to do. And that's really defeats the point of the program, because the federal regulations are saying that if somebody comes in incontinent, you need to do what you can reasonably do to make them continent again. And just checking them, you know, 3 times and not doing an assessment of why they're incontinent, it's typically not enough. Mm-hmm. And this is where I think the ball gets dropped a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. So moving on from section H, that was bowel and bladder. Where are we going next?
I think J probably, which is the fall section. It asks whether the resident has had any falls, if there was any injuries, major injury, minor injury, no injury associated with the falls. So that, you know, speaks directly to the falls.
Okay. And so what are we looking at in that? Is that literally just a history of falls, or tell me a little yeah. bit more about that?
Yeah, I think the questions are whether or not there's been a fall since the prior assessment, and whether or not, and if so, whether there was an injury associated with the fall. I think that's about it.
Okay. So very critical section, because sometimes in my experience, somebody will have multiple falls, but section J will be blank basically with no history of falls. And we'll get to why notating these things in the MDS is important, because we'll get to care planning in a second. But where are we going from J?
I don't think there's anything else with falls.
Okay. So let's.
Do you?
Unless we're talking
when
about.
When you get into M and. Yeah.
Maybe medications, but we'll save
yeah,
that.
Yeah. So, maybe. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay. So now, typically, at least my understanding is how this works is that the nurse is clicking the button. So, for example, history of falls in section J. And then what's going to happen is that they're going to get prompted to dig more deeper into that. And a care area assessment is going to be generated, which is just it's a more specific assessment. And then based on all that data, a care plan kind of gets spit out. Is that more or less how it happens?
Yeah, basically. So I look at the MDS kind of as like the care plan safety net. The standard of care requires that as you identify the risk, you develop the care plans as you go. But in the event that there's some sort of risk that goes unnoticed, you know, they don't identify it, there's not a care plan created. By the time you get to the MDS, everything that matters is going to get captured. And so that's kind of your opportunity to reconcile and say, oh, you know, we need to develop a care plan for this, or oh, they already did the care plan for this on admission, that type of thing.
Okay. So I guess at the end of the day, this is a document that I think would be important for you. So I guess out of the categories of documents that would be important for you to understand as a family member of somebody that's in a nursing home, care plan is probably the most important.
Yes.
But the MDS assessment, because for me, at least the ease of being able to read it, as opposed to the 15 different assessments that might be documented that might be difficult to read, the MDS assessment is fairly easy to read, and you get to understand how the care plan came to be and why the care plan might plan for X, but not for Z, right? Mm-hmm. So get your hands on the care plan. And then get your hands on the MDS to really have an understanding as to what the nursing home understands your loved one situation to be. Mm-hmm. Any other like broad suggestions or recommendations in terms of, you know, what to get out of the MDS, how to read it, anything like that you can share with us?
No, I think we covered all the most relevant stuff when it comes to falls.
Very good. Well, awesome, Amy. Well, again, another awesome golden nugget packed episode. We really appreciate you coming on and sharing your knowledge with us today.
Thanks for having me.
All right, everybody. I hope that you found this episode entertaining, informative, enlightening. If you have a suggestion for a topic that you want me to talk about, please let me know. If you have an idea for a guest that you would like for me to talk to, let me know that as well. New episodes of the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast drop, as the kids say, every single Monday, wherever you get your podcast from, as well as YouTube and our website, nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. With that, folks, we'll see you next time. Thanks for tuning in to the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. Nothing said on this podcast, either by the host or the guest, should be construed as legal or medical advice, nor is intended to create an attorney-client relationship between the host or their guest and the listener. New episodes for now are available every other Monday on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or on your favorite podcast app, as well as on YouTube and our website, nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. Again, that's nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. See you next time.